12th chapter of Romans and verse 1. You probably can quote it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. The familiar things, much of the time, we lose much with those things. We don't see the value like we should in familiar things. I remember reading of some safari hunters who came into a little African village, and the village was very poor, but they noticed these little children were playing marbles, and they got to watching what they were doing and even entering into the game as these little African children were playing, and they noticed as they picked up those marbles, as they looked closer, they realized that they were diamonds. And because they were so familiar to these little children, and they had no idea what they were playing with, that they were playing with diamonds worth thousands and thousands of dollars. I think that kind of illustrates what we do sometimes when we read the Bible. We'll read a passage of Scripture, and we won't spend the time with it. Not only will we not read it, or will we not spend the time to meditate upon that passage of Scripture, but we won't pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to say to me through your word? And really, there's an old hymn called, Take Time to Be Holy. Take time to be holy. Time in the word, it's required of you that you spend time with his word to listen and to hear his voice and not lose the preciousness of every passage of Scripture. Now, Romans is known as a doctrine book, primarily the doctrine of salvation. You see it from the very beginning of the book of Romans. You'll see this wonderful theme that when you read and study it, it emerges, this theme of salvation and many other wonderful doctrines that we hold to from God's Word. Now, when you get to chapter 12, the Apostle Paul, who is the author of Romans, when you get to chapter 12, this is kind of a turning point in the book of Romans, because up through chapter 11, he's giving a lot of this meat and a lot of this substance and this doctrine. And I think we all recognize that doctrine is important. Doctrine is kind of the framework. It's like the structure. It's the strength. And how important it is. Just the strength and the truth of God's word. I've heard preachers even say, well, we just preach Jesus, and we don't spend all of our time on all that doctrine. And they're saying that the doctrine isn't important, but we know that every word is inspired and every word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction. And so all of these, the teaching on this doctrinal truth is so very important. When I was thinking about this, I thought of Ezekiel's vision that he had there in chapter 37, where he was taken up and he saw this wonderful, amazing vision that was given to him. He saw a valley full of bones, and the Bible says that they were very dry, very dry. But then the Lord speaks to him and says, prophesy to these bones. He obeyed the word of the Lord, and he prophesied to those bones, and suddenly the bones that were in pieces and are out there bleaching in the sun, they start coming together. There's a rattling and a shaking. They come together, and then the sinews and the muscle and finally the flesh and the body then is intact, but it's not moving. And then again, he's challenged. prophesy again. Prophesy to the wind, that the wind would blow. And so whenever he prophesied and the wind of the Spirit blew upon those bodies, the Bible says that it came to life. And they lived, they stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Now the application from that verse of Scripture and that story is that all of the bone and all of the structure and everything was important, but it wasn't able. It was not an army. It wasn't a marching army. It couldn't accomplish anything until the wind of the Spirit, the breath of God, blew upon that body. That's kind of the way doctrine is. If doctrine is dry and boring and meaningless, it's because all you have is just the bones and the sinew, and you don't have the breath of the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit of God comes and he causes the structure, the doctrine, the things that we believe to come to life to us. And that's what this passage of Scripture that I read to you is about. Since I said this is a turning point, because the apostle is saying to all of them that he's given this message about doctrine and salvation and these other wonderful doctrines of the church, then he turns, and this turning place is a point where he says, "Now, I beseech you." Now, there's strong wording here. There's emotion in what he's saying. I beseech you by the mercies of God. I beseech you. It's like someone who is down on their knees pleading with someone to give this attention. Take what I have told you and give full attention to it. I plead with you. I beseech you. There is an urgency, and the reason that there is an urgency is because they had all of the bones and they had all of the structure and it was all in place, but it wasn't going to have any impact upon their life until they learned the importance of it being lived out in their life. All of that had to come to life. It had to become a part of them. It wasn't just a truth separate from them. It had to be engrafted into them, part of them, and the Spirit of God had to bring it all to life to them. And that's why he's pleading with them. There's this urgency. He's saying, don't miss these wonderful truths. Let them change you. Let them affect your life. Be changed by the things that you heard. I beseech you by the mercies of God. He was saying, you're a debtor to the Lord and to his mercy. And he has extended himself to you and has provided hope and salvation for you. I plead with you by the mercies of God. Amen. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now the Jews, they could really easily relate to what he was saying. They understood all about sacrifices because it was such a part of their life, so ingrained into their lifestyle and their philosophy, the importance of sacrifices and bringing those sacrifices to the temple. So the Jews knew exactly what he was describing, and it was just a part of the understanding, the culture of sacrifice. They understood that the importance of giving and sacrificially bringing the best of the flock, the best without blemish to God. And so he says, now I'm pleading with you. Let what I have taught you to become a reality. Let it become your life. Let it become your life. Let it be a living sacrifice. Not a sacrifice that the lamb that was taken or the bullock that was taken for sacrifice had to be tied up and forced to the place of sacrifice. But you go there willingly in light of the things that you know and I have taught you. You go to the altar and you voluntarily lay down your life for God and say, I'm yours. I'm yours. For whatever you want to do and however you want to use me. Have you ever come to that place in your life? I hope that you have. If you haven't, then I hope that soon that you can pray that kind of a prayer sincerely. Lord, I don't know what you want for me from this day forward, but I am yours. And you do with me what you want to do. If you pray that kind of prayer honestly, if you're sincere before the Lord, then you can be sure that God is going to answer that prayer. When you bring yourself to him as a voluntarily offered living sacrifice, thousands, millions of sacrifices before were sacrifices that were forced, sacrifices that were offered and killed, and then there had to be another sacrifice, but Jesus came and provided hope and salvation as the better sacrifice for all of mankind. And now he's saying, I want you to live this out. I want this salvation to become real to you. Let it be a real thing. That theme is in a lot of places in the Scripture, a lot of places in the New Testament. One that came to my mind was James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Go to church. Read your Bible. Be spiritual. Be godly. All those things are valuable and important. But James says pure religion is living it out in your everyday life. He said, visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction when they're needy. You go to them. You minister to them. You live it out in your daily life and keep yourself unspotted from the world. There is the valuable, important living out of our Christian experience. A lot of people say this, and it's really one of the most challenging and difficult things that we face today is that many, many people claim, some 70%+ of Americans, when asked, are you a Christian, they say yes. But we see it's not lived out. We see that it's not their lives have not committed to the will of God or to the Word of God. They just have some connection with religion and with Jesus and the Bible and some of these things, but it's not being lived out on a daily basis, or we'd have a whole different culture in America today. If 70% of Americans who profess to be a Christian, it's incredible to me that there could be that many people who say, I go to church, I'm connected with God. That many people in America, then we would have a culture that's moving so quickly away from God and away from the Word of God, the principles of and the teachings of the Word of God. Obviously, we have a whole generation of people that do not even understand what it means to be truly a follower of Jesus Christ. They don't understand. We have a responsibility, of course, to live it out before them and be an example of godliness and righteousness before them, but that is the call of God. So have you ever made that kind of a commitment to the Lord? Lord, my life belongs to you. My life is yours. You do with me what you choose. I'm a vessel in your hands. If you've prayed that very honestly, sincerely before the Lord, don't be surprised if God upsets your little schedule and your life that you're living. God wants to reach the world. That is the heart of God. And so when you commit yourself completely to Him and to His purpose, then that's what's going to happen. He's going to begin to use you to reach people for the Lord. Amen. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, this was the call of God to the Lord Jesus, to those who were following Him. And you notice all through the ministry of Jesus, at the beginning, great multitudes of people. And then as His ministry continued, the crowds started to drop off, smaller and smaller and smaller, until they're just a little small little nucleus of disciples that are there the day that He is crucified. And everybody else, all of the masses are all saying, crucify Him, crucify Him. I mean, it was just a week before that they were, Hosanna, Hosanna, worshiping Him, welcoming Him. So this whole nature of fickleness was real then. It's real now. A lot of people who make their claims to know God and to love God, but when it comes down to really sacrificing and committing yourself to the Lord, that doesn't happen that much. Jesus said, Luke 9:23, he said to them, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." That's the call of discipleship. That's the call of God. As I mentioned in the service Sunday, that whenever Jesus called those disciples from their fishing boats, he didn't say, "Kneel down right down here and say a prayer." He said, "Leave it all. Follow me." It was abandoning of their life to follow Jesus Christ. And that's the call of God, isn't it? That's the call of God for this day, to be what he would have us to be, to live it out every day. "If any man will come after me, let him deny self." Deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Lay it all aside and follow after me. Amen. Behind everyone who makes an impact in the kingdom of God is a story of their sacrifice. I don't care how many missionary stories you've read, how many stories of great, great men of God who have made an impact upon our world for Jesus Christ. Behind that man, behind that woman is a life of sacrifice. And they laid it all down to follow Jesus Christ, to follow the Lord. It was abandonment of their life, their future, what their plans were, what, you know, the things that were valuable to them, and now they laid it all aside, and "I belong to you, Lord. I'm yours." How many of you have a devotional book? It's very famous. Do you have a copy of Streams in the Desert? How many of y'all have a copy of that? Several of you do. Streams of the Desert. Mrs. Kalman wrote that devotional, and others. And 1893, her husband Charles Kalman became a Christian, came to the Lord. And just 8 months later, he went to Moody Bible Institute to visit a missions convention. This was 1893. He's so moved. And those services saved less than a year. So challenged. Main speaker was A.B. Simpson. Can you imagine? Preaching and telling them to abandon all, to follow Jesus Christ. He was a young Christian, but he was so moved by that he had just got paid his monthly salary. It was all in his pocketbook. So when the offering came by after the message, the missions offering was taken, he emptied his pocketbook, every bit of it. Glory to God. He gave it all. And then later in the service, that's kind of how it is in mission service, A.B. Simpson got up and said, "We're going to take another offering in this missions service." So he looked to his wife, and he knew he'd given all of his money, so he pulled his watch and gold chain. It was all that he had of value on him. He pulled that up, and then he's looking over at his wife and smiling at her, and she looks at him, and he just keeps looking, and he's looking at her hand and smiling. Never said a word. Finally, it dawned on her that what he was suggesting is that she take her wedding ring and put it in the offering. Mrs. Kalman put her wedding ring in. Mr. Charles Kalman put his gold watch and chain, which is all that he had of value. Later on, just not too long after that, actually, as I understand the story, he decided that they didn't have any children, and they lived in a fairly large house. They owned a fairly large house, and so he said, "We don't have a large family. We don't need all of this room. Let's rent this out and get a small little apartment and take the money from that and give it to the work of God." You say, "That's fanatical. That's fanatical." People who have made a huge mark for the kingdom of God have followed the pathway of sacrifice, not just in their money, but in every way that they lived all of their life. Later on, they went to the mission field, dedicated some 30 plus years to the work of missions. When they could no longer be on the mission field, they came back to the States and they formed a group to try to encourage and to help others to go out. Many of you probably have heard of OMS, missions. And if you've read much about missions, you have heard of this organization. It was founded by the Kalmans, and OMS means one missionary society, one Lord, one life, one calling, one missionary society. Today, there are over 6,000 churches from that organization. The Kalmans are deceased, of course, but there's still over 6,000 churches built every year by that one Lord, one life, one calling. One of their more famous missionaries is a book writer from many of you have read his books and have benefited, Wesley Duell, who has written all these wonderful books on prayer and intercession and missions. And if I've got all of them, I think. And he's still alive. He's an elderly man, but he's one of their famous missionaries that has such an impact on our world. And they've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of missionaries under the banner of that one Lord, one life, one calling, OMS, missionary, one missionary society. It all started with sacrifice. Just saying it all belongs to God. It's all His. And as a result, they invested their lives in the work of the kingdom of God, and it still is alive today. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? It's wonderful. It's wonderful to know that when the apostle said, you don't just need to know doctrine, you don't just need to know about salvation, you don't need just the framework, you need to live this out and be a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. That's the kind of life that we need to live. Amen. It's the call of God on every one of us, all of us. And what a challenge it is to step forward and to do what the Lord would have us to do. Do you belong to the Lord? Have you committed yourself to Him? Is the rest of your life His? Your future, does it belong to the Lord to use you however He chooses to use you? It's a big question. It's a big question. Because we tend to be very attached to this world and to the things of this world. But the call of God is sacrifice. Sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He just has went through and explained to them the doctrine of salvation again and again from just about every aspect. Romans is so clearly a doctrinal statement on salvation. Now he's saying, live it out. Be a living sacrifice. Let it be real in your life. You know, and whatever you sacrifice, be it little or great, for God and for the kingdom of God, you will always be greatly, greatly blessed and rewarded. Amen. There's no greater blessed life than the life that is given to God to do with you whatever He wants to do with you. As I said, every missionary story, every great woman or man of God that you read about that have impacted our world for God, behind that life, all we read is the headlines of who they were. But behind them is a story of commitment, sacrifice, a life that was given totally to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why they made the mark. That's why they made the mark that they made. Oh, what a challenge it is. That's the reason when missionaries come, man, it speaks to my heart. It deals with my heart to understand the call of God to every one of us. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. And I know that you've called us all to be living sacrifices. Live our lives for you and for your cause, your purpose. Lord, help us to hear your voice. Help everybody in this place here tonight to hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are mighty to provide. You are mighty, Lord, to direct our steps, to use us in whatever way is pleasing to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's